Sequikon is a Gentile bandit who seizes a field of a Jew, then he gives money for it. So there are different times. In certain periods, we assume that the Jews wholeheartedly gave up on it. At other times, they really didn't want it to be taken. They really didn't despair. They really are anticipating to get it back. So if a Jew buys from the Sequikon, so there was a period where he would just have to return the field to the original owner. There was another period where they said, you know what, he can keep the field. He has to pay, though, a quarter of the value of the field to the original owner. So now we have a braisa, two dots. Tana Rabbanan Lintin a braisa. Habamach maschov. If a non-Jew took a field not because he was a bandit, but because the Jew owed him money, and then a Jew bought the field from the non-Jew. Or umachmas anperos, or the non-Jew wasn't someone who could threaten the life of the Jew. He was just a thief. He took the field of the Jew. Then einbo mishum sikrikon. Then you don't have the law of sikrikon, namely that if the non-Jew had it for 12 months, then when the Jew buys it from this non-Jew, he can hold on to it and just give the original owner a quarter of the value. Rather, we say the original owner never despaired, and you have to give it back to the original owner. Va'an pros atzma, now when a non-Jew takes a field just as a thief, tzricha shetisha shneimasar chodesh, he needs to hold on to it for 12 months. What do you mean he needs to hold on for 12 months? Va'amarta in b'mishum sekrikun, you just said that if a non-Jew takes a field without him being a gangster, you know, he just grabbed the field, then you said there is no law of sikrikon. You said the original owner doesn't give up, so what's 12 months going to change? The original owner never gave up. So, achikram, this is what the braisa means. Sikrikon atzma. If the non-Jew, though, is not a thief, the non-Jew is more than a thief, he's a bandit, then tzricha shetisha yud beis chodesh. Then he needs to hold on to it for 12 months, and if the non-Jew held on for it for 12 months, at that point we say that the Jew gave up. And then when you buy from that non-Jew, you only give to the original owner a quarter of the value, but you don't have to return the field to him.
I mean, the first case is the non-Jew accepted because he owed him money. I mean, he had a debt.
Right.
So, like, if I'm a Jew and I buy it from him, that happens, right? People seize land if they didn't pay the debt, and it was collateral.
Well, apparently it wasn't collateral, right? He just grabbed it.
What about the shalosh shanim? I'm sorry, Rabbi.
That was yesterday.
No, I'm saying, I thought this is
right, but that's not what the case here. This case is not talking about that. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Naktinan we paskin ein anpros b'bavel. There are no land thieves in Bavel. So Gemara says, really? But we see that there are such people. What it means is ein din anpros b'bavel. There's no law of a land thief in Bavel. That means that we would not say that the purchaser who buys a field from a land thief would have to give the field back to the original owner. Why? My time. Kivan ikabe dvar. Since in Bavel there is a fair judicial system, v'lo azil kabil, and the guy whose field was seized by the thief didn't go complain to that judicial system and get the field back, that shows that he actually waived his rights to the field. He gave up on the field, and therefore this land thief really owns the field, and therefore the person who buys from the land thief bought from a guy who owns the field, and he doesn't need to return it to the original owner.
If the land thief doesn't want to sell,
that's not the case. The case here is that he sold. That's not the case. Another story, Gidel Bar Reali. They used to have, you know, valleys, and there would be a tax placed on the valley by a certain, you know, the tax, there would be a number put on the valley by the king. Then the different landowners within the valley would divide amongst themselves how much they would have to pay for the tax. If they didn't show up with the amount, then the king would come after them. So there was a story of the following. Gidel Bar Reali, it's the name of this person, Kabil Ara Betaska. He got a field. He got rights to a field to get the produce, Mibnei Bagi, from the other people, the other landowners in a valley, because he paid off the tax. In other words, the owner of this field was away. Gidel Bar Reali paid the tax part of this field. So he said, I'll pay the tax, I'll pay the bill, but I have to have rights to this field. So they gave him rights to the field, the other landowners in the field, in the valley. So what then happened? He paid ahead. He paid 3 years' worth of taxes. Lesof, at the end of 1 year, Asamar Vasi Kamai. The owners of that field that he's now using came. So Amrule, they said to him, Shasa Kamai Sadiahavit Achut. All right, that first year's worth of taxes, okay, you paid what we should have been paying, so you have the rights to those fruits. But Hasha, now for the next 2 years, Anan Yahavinan, we're going to pay the taxes, and therefore Anan Achlinan, we're taking back the fruits from our field. So us Lakamid Rav Papa, so now they came in front of Rav Papa. He's claiming, listen, I already paid for it, I should be entitled to it. And they're saying, but you didn't have to pay for the coming years. You only had to pay for last year. You paid for the coming years. It was your choice. So Savar Lemichtav Leitir Fabne Bagi. So Rav Papa figured that he wanted to write a document from Beis Din, you know, a collection document, that in fact this guy who had paid the tax, Gidol, should be able to get reimbursed for his taxes that he paid from the owner of the field, because he did pay ahead. That's what he had thought to say. So Amalei Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua Rav Papa. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said to Rav Papa, Im Kain Asita Sikrikon. So then you're making a halacha like the law of Sikrikon, that when a person puts out money, at the end of the day, he gets the money back. And that's not really fair, because here he should never have spent so much money. He should never have been paying for the three coming years. He spent money which he didn't have to. You know, he was asked to come in to pay the tax bill that had been received, not to pay future tax bills. He paid future tax bills. That was his risk, and he lost the money. Okay, the Mishnah said that the law of Sikrikon was initially that if you bought from the Sikrikon and then went back to the original owner, it wasn't a sale. But then they changed it. Zu Mishnah Rishona. Bezdin Shalachrei and Amru, the later Bezdin said, Halokeach v'na Sikrikon, if you buy from the Sikrikon, nosim lebailam revia, you just have to give the original owner a quarter of the value. That was the later court's ruling. So now the Gemara asks, Amar Rav. Rav said, when we say that you give a quarter of the value, revia bekarka. In other words, it's land worth a quarter of what you had paid to the guy. Amar Rav. So Rav asked the question, revia bekarka or revia bemos? Do you pay it with, he said, you could do either one. You could either give a quarter of the ground, you know, ground worth a quarter of what you had paid, or a quarter of the coins. So if you had given, if you had paid this guy 100 coins, he could either give the original owner 25 coins, or a field that's worth 25 coins. So Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said,
not 25% of the field.
Ah, very good. That's Shmuel's point. Shmuel says, Revia Bikarka, 25, a field which is 25% of the size of that original field. Shehain shlish bimos, which is worth a third of the money. So in other words, if the he paid 100, he's giving a field worth 33. But Maikum, if we what's the argument in Rav and Shmuel? Mar Savar, one is of the opinion, Nechi Revia Zavin. When a guy steals a field, so the guy sells it, when he sells it off, he sells it off at a price minus a quarter. So my savar, and the other opinion was that when, since the guy sold the field, he sells it at a price, nechichum shazavin, a price which discounted a fifth. And since it was a price that discounted a fifth of its real value, when the Jew paid 100 coins, it was really worth 125, and the guy discounted a fifth of its price. So the Gemara asks again, Shmuel, Meis ve'al challenge, we learned in a brisa. So Mishnah Rishona, there was an original law of how to deal with purchases of fields from Sikrikons. The later court said, if one buys from the Sikrikon, it is a good sale. And no sin labal and revia. All he has to do is pay the original owner a quarter. Fiyad bailim al yona. And those original owners, they can choose what they wanted. If ratzu bakarka, if what they want is land, notan, they can take land. Ratzu b'mos, if they want cash, notan, they can take cash.
Rabbi,
Sikrikon,
yeah. He's seizing the property and not paying Jew.
Correct.
So it's almost like a ransom. So if yeah. you... There should be a law that you shouldn't be able to pay, buy the property back.
Unfortunately, we don't have a choice, right? These are times when the Romans are ruling, and they're the bosses, unfortunately.
There's also Eretz Yisrael, where we want the land to be in Jewish possession, right?
Yeah, but, you know, we don't have control. It was a time when Titus is the ruler, as we saw. That's how we got into the whole discussion of Titus. It was a time of persecution. There was no alternative. So the Brisa says... A Masai, when is this the law? Bizman Shein Biyadon Lika, when the original owners don't have the money to buy back their field. Aval Yesh Biyadon Lika, but if they have the money and they would like to buy back the field, Hein Kodm L'chol Adam, they are entitled to get the field. They give to the buyer what he had given to the Sikrikon, and they get the field. Rabbi Hoshiv Bezdin v'Nimnu, Rabbi though seated a Bezdin who had an account and they paskind, Shimshas b'fnei Sikrikon Shnemasar Chodesh, that if the field was in the hands of the Sikrikon for 12 months, so then the original owners can't get it away from the buyers. Kalakodem Likach Zoch, anyone who buys it acquires it. Avonosin Labailam Revia Bekarka, but he has to give the original owners a quarter of land, or Revia Bemos, or a quarter of the cash. So you see, like Rav, that the quarter means a quarter of that which was paid. Samar Ravashi, not a third. Samar Ravashi answered, Kitanyahi, when we learned that Brisa, and he gives a quarter, as Liachar Shebo'u Ma'os Liyado. In other words, where the after the original owner gets a third, so then what it turns out, it's a quarter, right? In other words, if I spent $100 to the Sikrikon, and I have to now give $33 to the original owner, 33 is a quarter out of 133, roughly. So when it said a quarter, it didn't really mean 25, it meant 33.
Rabbi, this is a ransom money. Okay, in a way. It's like kidnapping somebody's...
Okay.
So why they had to put numbers in it, one third or a quarter or whatever? You go, you know, whatever, negotiate with the thief and tell him, you know, listen, you stole my land, you know.
Like all these other Mishnayos, we're learning all sorts of halachos that they institute, mipnei tikkun ha'olam, to try to fix the world, to try to find a balance that will work.
Why they concentrate on quarter and one third and, you know. They
wanted to find a balance, to enable a person to keep what is rightfully his and yet reimburse people. So now a story. Amar Rav, Rav said, I was there on the Bezdin when Rebbe made his takana. And they counted me first. I asked for my vote first. Really? When you have a court case about monetary matters, or laws about tumah v'tahara, you first ask the greatest sage, what's his opinion? When you have a matter of life and death, then you ask on the side, you know, with the smallest person, what does he say? Because we don't want him to be intimidated once he hears the gadol saying his opinions. Now here you have Rav. Rav was certainly a minor judge of the court of Rebbe. Why would they start with him? So I'm a Rav, b'rei de Rav, v'yitem Rav Hillel, b'rei de Rav Bivalis. When it came to Rebbe, he was different than all other courts. And the way he ran his court is that all matters, even monetary matters, he wouldn't begin with the senior sage. He would begin with these students, with the smaller ones. Another lesson. Rabba, the son of Rava, and some say it's Rabbi Hillel, the son of Rabbi Valas, said, Moshe v'ad Rebbe lo matinu Torah gdulu b'makam echad. From the days of Moshe till Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, you never had a situation where the greatest Talmud Chacham was also the wealthiest and most powerful person. But lo, you never found that. I have Yoshua. You had Yoshua ben Nun. He was the greatest in wealth and power, and he was also the greatest Talmud Chacham. No, he wasn't the greatest Talmud Chacham. In his days, Hava Allah, the Kohen Gadol, was a greater Talmud Chacham. So, well, in the days of Elazar was both a huge Talmud Chacham and very wealthy and powerful. No, in those days he had Pinchas, Ahava Pinchas. Ahava Pinchas, during Pinchas he was the most powerful and the most wealthy and biggest Talmud Chacham. Ahava Zakenim, there were other elders who were as great in Torah as he was. Ahava Shol, but in the days of King Shol, he was the king and he was the greatest Talmud Chacham. No, he wasn't the greatest Talmud Chacham, Ahava Shmuel. You had Shmuel. Ahava Anach Navshe, but Shmuel eventually dies. And then you have Shaul as being the greatest Talmud Chacham and the most powerful. So why do you say that from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, you never had the same person being both the leader of Torah and the leader of Gedula? Kulu Shani Kamino. We're just saying throughout their lifetime. Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi was throughout their lifetime that they were exclusively the greatest in both areas. Others only for part of their lifetime. What about David HaMelech? Now, in his day, there was Ira HaYairi, who was greater than him in Torah. Iva Nach Nafsha, but Ira also died. Kulu Shani Bina. We're looking for people who throughout their lifetimes were the greatest, both in Torah and Gedula. What about Shlomo HaMelech? Ava Shlomo. Well, in his days, Ava Shimi Ben Geira. Shimi Ben Geira, who was a greater Talmud Chacham. Katle, we know, but Shlomo kills Shimi Ben Geira. So again, Kulu Shani Kamina. We're looking for someone who throughout his lifetime was the greatest in Torah and Gedula. What about Havi Chizkiah? King Chizkiah was a huge Talmud Chacham. He was the greatest Talmud Chacham of his generation. He was the king. He was the most powerful, most wealthy. Well, he wasn't the greatest Talmud Chacham. Hava Shevna. In his day, there was Shevna. Ivo Iktol, but Shevna was killed by Sancheriv. So Kuli Shani Kamin. And again, we're saying, when we said there is no one like Moshe Rabbeinu or Rebbe, because they had these dual distinctions throughout their lifetime, whereas Yechezkel only had it for part of his, Chizkiah only had it for part of his lifetime. What about Ezra Sofer? No, he wasn't exclusively the greatest Talmud Chacham, because having Nehemiah ben Chachlaya, you had Nehemiah, who was also as great and as powerful, more powerful. Amar Rav Acha b'Rei Rava, Rav Acha said, the son of Rava, Afani Omer Mimos Rebbe v'ad Rav Ashi lo matzinu Torah gdulu b'makom echad. You said that from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rebbe, there was never a person who was both the greatest in Torah and the greatest in power and wealth of the generation. I would say from Rebbe until Rav Ashi, who's the person who writes Talmud Bavli, there was never someone who was both the greatest in Torah and the greatest in power and wealth. Such an emphasis on wealth. What's that? It's so rare that the person who is the wealthiest Jew is also the greatest Torah scholar.
Was Moshe really the wealthiest Jew?
Yeah. Very well.
Why? But he didn't leave. He didn't gather.
No, but he got all the chips of the luchos. Yeah, it was very wealthy. So I'm Rav Acha b'Rei Rava. Rav Acha said, I would say from Rebbe to Rav Ashi, there was no one who was so great in wealth and power. Below there wasn't. I have Rav Huna Bar Nasan. There was Huna Bar Nasan. No, Shiny Huna Bar Nasan, the make of Havakaya Flailer Rav Ashi. He was smaller than Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was his leader in Torah. Okay, more Takano, says the Mishnah. Cheresh, if a person's a deaf mute, Romes, he can hint to purchase something, Venirmaz, and things can be hinted to him, and in that way, the sale will be considered a sale. Ben Becerra says, Kofetz, he can mouth it with his lips, the Nikfats, and people can mouth words to him, and it would be considered a sale. Bimetaltalin, when we have this is true in terms of buying movables. Then the Mishnah continues. Hapu'utos, young children that are somewhat mature, mekhan mekach, umim karon memkar b'metaltlin. They can buy things and they can sell things that are movables. So we had an argument here whether a deaf mute can acquire things by hand motions, or even by mouthing words. Rav Nachman said, Machlokas, the argument whether mouthing words could work is b'metaltlin in regards to acquiring movables. or selling movables. Aval begitin, but if a cheresh wants to divorce his wife, divri akol beremiza, certainly he has to have signals with his hands in his head, and just mouthing the words wouldn't be enough. Pshit, of course, but it's not. The Mishnah spoke about acquiring and selling movables. So my answer is now the same. I would have thought to say, after metaltalin, that when the Mishnah says movables, the Mishnah meant even movables. It's certainly a get. Kamash malan, that no, it means movables are not a get. Ikadamri, another version. Amr of Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Kamachlokus b'metaltalin, kach machlokus begitin. The same argument, whether mouthing words would work to sell and purchase movables is about giving a get. Iva not metaltlin. It's not. Iva the Mishnah only has the argument about metaltlin. Ema after metaltlin. Mishnah is saying also in metaltlin, but certainly in regards to get. Then we learned that a child who has intelligence, sapuutos, mekhon mekach, umim karon mekar, the metaltlin. Vad kama, what is this age of puutos? Machmi Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak Berei, kvar shis kvar sheva. Rav Yehuda set motion to Rav Yitzchak his son. 6 or 7. Rav Kahana Amar Kvar Shvar Kvar Tamni. 7 or 8, Rav Kahana said. The Masnisa Tana and the Braisa was taught that it is Kvar Tesha Kvar Eser, 9 or 10. Below Pligin, it's really not an argument whether it's 6 or 7, 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. Kol Chad V'Chad Chur Faith, depending on how brilliant the kid is. If a kid is very smart, then at a younger age, he'd be reaching the Onas HaPautos where he can make deals, and the deals would last. The time am I, what's the reason? In order to be able to live, if he's not able to buy things, how's he going to be able to live? Pasuk says, "Vayomer la'asher al ha'meltacha hotzei levush l'chol ovdei habal." It's talking about King Yehu. He wanted to kill all the kohanim habal. So he said that Achav had worshipped Baal. And he said that all the kohanim of Baal should come, and he should take out all the kohanim of Baal should come. They should put on them the garments of their, you know, service to this idol, and then they were going to kill them. My maltacha, what is maltacha? Amar Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, Rav Yochanan, davar anim lavo nimtach. It's another way of saying garments, linen garments that you pull the strings in order to make them fit. Yasser Avdimi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Shigerlo Bunyas ben Nunyas l'Rabbi. Bunyas ben Nunyas once sent to Rabbi. Sivni v'chomas salsalu milmala. So he sent him these four types of linen garments. Sivni v'chomas, these were large garments that when you folded them, kiam guzo, palgadam guza. They, even though they fit Rabbi when they were on Rabbi, when they would be folded, they would be the size of a woolen and a half. Salslan Malmala, when you would fold them, they would also be kipistico, palgodipistico. They would be the size of these nuts that fall from the alone tree. My Malmala, what's the meaning of this garment called a Malmala? Davar nimlam v'nimtach. It's the same thing. It's a linen garment that you stretch and fix the threads. Then the Mishnah said that the Chazal had instituted, as we learned, that children also can make deals. But to Usanat Kama, if they make a mistake, at what point would we reverse the deal? Am Reb Yonah, Am Reb Zera, the same way as an adult. Achdus Kegadol. In other words, if they made a mistake of overpaying or underpaying by up to a sixth, the deal would work. More than a sixth, we would reverse the deal. Boy, Abaya, Abaya asked, Matanasomai. Did the Chazal also institute that children could give gifts, or maybe only to buy things? Or b'yemi amar ein matanasa matana, a child can't give a gift. Our bravashi amar matanasa matana v'afchua. But the Bnei Yeshiva switched. Who said what? V'shadru lekamei de Rabbi Mordechai. And they sent to Rabbi Mordechai, what's the halacha? Can children give gifts? Amar, he said, zilu amru lebarmar, go tell the children of Ravashi, lav hachi avuvda. Wasn't this the reality that kiavakoi mar chad karia arev chad karia darga? When Rav Ashi had 1 foot on the ground and 1 foot on the ladder, v'amarni le matanasomai, and we asked him, what about a child giving gifts? V'amarlan, he said, matanasomatana, a child can give gifts. Achas matnas chivmera, whether he's a dying child. V'achas matnas bari, or if he's healthy. V'achas matana meruba, whether it's a large gift. V'achas matana mu'etes, or a small gift. Elu dvarim amru mipnei darkei shalom. These following rulings were instituted in order to prevent fights and have peace. Number one, Kohen Kore Rishon, the first aliyah is given to a Kohen. Achar of Levi, when you have Kohen as the first aliyah, the second aliyah is a Levi. Achar of Yisrael, the third aliyah is a Yisrael, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, to keep peace. Another halacha, there's something called an Eruv Chatzeros, Ma'arvim Bebayis Yashim, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. We leave the Eruv in the old house to keep peace. Another halacha, if you have an irrigation canal, Barshu, Korv Lama Mismale Rishon, that pit closer to the irrigation canal can fill its waters first, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, for peace. Another halacha, Mitzudos Chayav Ofos V'dagim, if a person has nets of to catch wild animals, Yesh Bahen Mishum Gezel. Even if the animals are just caught in the net and someone else steals them, it's considered theft, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, it's not Darkei Shalom, that's already Gezel Gomer, that's real theft. Another halacha, Metzias Cheir Shot to the Katan, if a minor or a deaf mute find an object and you take it from them, Yesh Ben Mishum Gezel, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, based on Darkei Shalom, that's considered theft. Rabbi Yossi Omer, it's Gezel Gazel, that's real theft. Ani Amenakev Berosh Hazayis, if a poor person is pounding the olive tree and causing the olives to fall off, if olives fall off of the tree, even though he didn't touch them, if you take those olives, that's theft based on Darkei Shalom. Rabbi Yosef, no, that's Gezel Gomer, that's real theft. We don't protest if non-Jews pick Leka Chikhopeya, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, for the sake of peace. Thank you.